Lord Jesus, you are the God who saves, the God who satisfies our great needs. Lord, please would you do that now as we come to your word. By your Spirit, open our eyes, give us understanding, and may it lead us to coming to you, depending upon you and looking to you for all things. Amen. Now, one of life's greatest battles happens between a parent and a baby when they are between, I guess, 6 and 18 months. The baby is in the high chair. The parent is facing them. Between them is a bowl of food with a plastic spoon in it. Now, on a good day, this is what will happen. The parent will take the spoon from the bowl with some food on it and move it towards the baby's mouth, who will open wide and receive it. And the process will be repeated again and again until the whole bowl is empty. That's a good day. But life isn't full of good days, is it? Because there are other days when the following happens. The parent takes a spoon with the food on it, moves it towards the baby's mouth, which remains firmly shut. Sometimes the baby thinks they're funny and will open their mouth to start with and giving the impression that they're going to be compliant. And just as the spoon's about to enter the mouth, they shut it. And it's at this point that the battle begins. The parent goes to their arsenal. They put the spoon by the baby's lips, hoping that it might entice them to open wide. If they're still refusing, the parent might model the response they are looking for, opening their mouths wide as the spoon goes towards their child. Or before they do that, they pretend to feed themselves, bringing a spoon to their mouths and making that yum sound, trying to entice the baby. If still no joy, it's time to pull out the big hitters. You know the ones I'm talking about? You start with the choo-choo train. Or if that doesn't work, you then go for the aeroplane, hoping that would work. You see, it's for the baby's good, their own good, that they open wide their mouths and they allow their parents to fill it. Now, too often we're like that child who won't open their mouth. We have closed mouths, closed to what God wants to give to us. And that's true for all of us here in this room this morning. If you're here and you're not yet a Christian, God has something that he wants to give to you. He wants to give you salvation. He wants to give you the blessing of forgiveness for your sins and eternal life. You see, our God is a God who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And if you're here and you are a Christian, God also has something he wants to give to you. He wants to change and to transform you into the likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ. He wants to give you grace and mercy to help you in your time of need. He wants to strengthen you so that you can resist temptation and endure trials. He wants to fill you with joy. He wants to assure you of his love and care. He wants to provide your daily bread and to guide you along those paths that lead to life. And as a local church, God has something that he wants to give to you too. He wants to teach you. He wants to unite you. He wants to use you. He wants to provide for your needs. He wants to give you his presence. Our God is an abundantly generous God. He delights in giving good gifts. All we have to do is open our mouths and receive them from him. Yet we don't. Our mouths are like that refusing baby, shut. Now, in this one verse we're going to be thinking about together from Psalm 81, we have an opportunity for us to ask ourselves a question. And the question is this: is my mouth shut? Is your mouth closed? Shut, closed to what God wants to give to you. Are you refusing to believe that you're a sinner who needs the salvation God has provided in Jesus to all who turn to him from their sin and trust in him? Are you someone who's happy to take your chances on judgment day, thinking you'll be okay? For those who know they need Christ to save them, who are trusting in him to take away their sins, are you looking to him to provide your daily needs? Or are you doubting that he can? Are you opening your mouth wide to something else rather than God to give you the safety that everything will be all right and the satisfaction that you want from this life? Are you opening your mouth to maybe your money or your hard work or your skill or resources or some other person? Even as a local church, are you prone to forget what Jesus has told us? But apart from me, you can do nothing. Or that verse our service began with this morning. But unless the Lord builds his house, your labours for him will be in vain. You see, you may have good and godly desires for this church, but do you come together as a church with open mouths, asking God to bless you, giving a united amen? Are your mouths shut to God's rescue, to God's resources? Well, if they are, you're not the first people to do this. Psalm 81 reminds us that the people of Israel at various times in their history were like that baby who refused to open their mouth. Look at the verses that surround the one we're going to focus in on. Look at verses 6 to 9 of Psalm 81. God said, I relieved your shoulder of the burden. Your hands were freed from the basket. In distress you called and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the water of Meribah. Hear, O my people, while I admonish you. O Israel, if you would but listen to me, there shall be no strange God among you. You should not bow down to a foreign God. I look at verses 11 to 16. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, but Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe towards him, and their face would last forever. Their fate would last forever. But he would feed you with the finest of wheat and with honey from the rock. I would satisfy you. We see here that the willingness of God to bless them and to provide for them and help them. In the past, they called out in their distress. And what did he do? He rescued them. He was willing to subdue their enemies. He would feed them with the best wheat and satisfy them with honey from the rock. But what are we told they did? They would not listen to God. They did not trust God. They turned to idols. They did not follow God's ways. Their mouths were shut. However, in verse 10, God appeals to them to stop doing that, to listen to him, to follow him, to trust in him, to look to him for everything that they needed. He says, open your mouth, and makes a promise to fill it when they do. Look at verse 10 of Psalm 81. I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. God says to his people, open your mouth wide, like a compliant baby to receive food from their parents, or maybe to use a different image. Maybe a nest full of chicks, chirping with their mouths open wide, desperate for their mother to drop in food. Open your mouth. He was saying to Israel, look to me like a bird does to its mother. Stop looking to anything else to provide, only what I can. Enlarge your mouth. Open it wider. Rely on me to do more than you've asked me to do for in the past. Expect more from me than you can ask or think. Bring your petitions to me. Not just your small ones, Big prayers. Those ones that you think will never be answered. No request is too big for God. One of our Puritan pastors, Thomas Case, said these words: "You may easily overexpect the creature, but you cannot overexpect God." You may easily overexpect the creature, but you cannot overexpect God. Here in this verse, God is saying, don't hold back from me. Come to me freely, with your request freely. As soon as you feel a need, bring it to me. Doesn't Jesus say the same thing in Matthew 7? When he encourages his followers to ask, to seek, to knock. Open your mouth wide, he says. That's a command to Israel here. And it's followed up straight away with a promise. See that at the end of verse 10? "And I will fill it." I will. It's a certainty. God will do it. He is both faithful to his word and he is able to keep his word. As scripture reminds us elsewhere, is anything too hard for the Lord? He's able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. God's ability and his capability here are never in doubt, nor is his generosity and willingness. I will fill it. Fill it like he filled those empty containers belonging to a widow with oil in the days of Elisha. He's promising here to supply the needs of his people when they ask him, to bless him. Psalm 103 verse 5 tells us he satisfies you with good things. God here is longing to care for his children. So he says to a people who do not have, because they do not ask, open wide your mouth and I will fill it. And he says the same to us. After all, what does Jesus say will happen when his followers ask, seek and knock? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. Ask extravagantly. Ask expectantly. In line with what he has promised to do. So what will that mean practically for you? What will it mean for you today to open wide your mouth to the Lord and ask him to fill it? Well, for some here, it will mean calling out to him to save you. If you open your mouth wide right now by asking Jesus to save you from the wrath you deserve by forgiving your sins and giving you eternal life, the promise here is he will fill it. Because that's what he's promised to do. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, but whoever, yes, that's right, whoever, whatever your past is like, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you, that is you who believe, will be saved. Or he says elsewhere, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Don't shut your mouth. Open it widely by asking Christ to save you, and the promise is he will. For those of us who have, are you opening your mouth widely to God each day? Looking him to supply not just your salvation, but everything that you need in this life. To cast all your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. Jesus has promised that whatever we ask for in his name, for the things that are God's will, we can know for sure that he hears our prayers and will answer them. As that old hymn reminds us, whatever it is, take it to the Lord in prayer. Open wide your mouth widely by asking for those things in Christ's name, trusting him to supply them. What we have here is an invitation from God to us to come to him each day in prayer with our cares. So if we are sick, to open our mouths and ask for healing. If we are grieving, to open our mouths and ask for comfort. If we are downcast, to open our mouths and ask for joy and for hope. If we are anxious, to open our mouths and ask for peace. If we are struggling with trials, to open our mouths and ask for strength. If we are confused, not knowing what to do, to open our mouths and ask for guidance. If we are lacking in any way, to open our mouths and ask for God to meet that need. And if we have fallen into sin, or are willingly giving into it right now, to open our mouths and to ask for forgiveness. Let's confess our dependence upon him. He is willing and able to give us what we need. And we can never ask too much of him. But opening our mouths widely isn't just to be an individual pursuit. It's also something that you are to do together. Every time you pray together, to open your collective mouth widely. Every time you say amen to a prayer that is prayed. Do you know what is happening? When you pray together and someone leads in prayer and you join in by saying amen. What you're doing in that moment is turning the prayer from the person who prayed to the prayer of those who are present. It goes from being their prayer to being your prayer, expressing the desire of the church. And the encouragement here is, this verse gives, is to open your collective mouth even wider, to make your prayers bigger, because God says, I will fill it. If you want more for this church, pray about this together with the expectation that God is able. But why should we believe that God is able? Why should we believe this promise that God gives, that he will fill our open mouths? Why should Israel, when they first sung the words of his psalm, when every year they sung it at the Feast of the Tabernacle, believe that God is able? Well, the answer comes in the first half of verse 10, which tells us we should believe that God is able to fill our mouths in two ways. And the reason we should is because he's done it before in the past. Look at verse 10 again with me. I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. The God who says to Israel, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it, is the Lord their God, who brought them up from the land of Egypt into the promised land. And the God who did this, is the same God who says these words to us this morning. He is able to do the following two things we need, because he's done this before. So first thing that God is able to do for us when we open our mouths wide. First, he's able to save. He's able to save. How do we know that? Because he is the Lord who brought Israel out of Egypt. Remember the story? They were slaves in Egypt under a wicked master. But with a mighty hand and outstretched arm, God had rescued them. He had broken Pharaoh's control over them. He had freed them. And so as Israel, as they sung this psalm, looked back to that mighty rescue of God of their ancestors, it would have reminded them that he is the God who is able to save. He's capable. He is caring. And what God did for Israel in saving them in the past foreshadowed the greater rescue, the greater deliverance, the greater exodus he would achieve through his son, who doesn't rescue a people from Egypt, but from the greatest enemies of all, from sin, from Satan, from death. God is able to save. So when we open our mouths wide in repentance and faith, when we trust Jesus to do for us what we could never do for ourselves, we can be certain that he will. He is able to save. But not only that, he is able, secondly, to supply. Secondly, he is able to supply. He is the Lord who brought Israel through the wilderness and into the promised land. Do you remember what happened after he rescued the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt? After they had crossed the Red Sea and they're into the wilderness, what does he do? He supplied bread from heaven. He supplied water from a rock. He supplied victory over their enemies. And then, in the days of Joshua, he supplied a home for them in a land flowing with milk and honey. Not only did God save a people, he supplied everything they needed to make it to and to live in the land he had promised. As Israel looked back and remembered how God provided for their ancestors' needs, it would have reminded them that he is still able to supply what they needed. So they should look to him, not to the idols they had been trusting in. And if God has saved us from sin and death, he surely can supply everything we need in this life so that we can make it to the land he has promised to us, the new heavens and the new earth. That's a point the Apostle Paul makes in Romans 8:32 when he says, he did not even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything? And God's able to supply. So when we open our mouths wide, bringing our prayers and petitions in Jesus' name, both individually and with one voice as a local church, we can be certain that he will fill it. He's able to save us. He's able to supply what we need. He's done it before for his people. And we can be sure that he will do it for us. So open your mouth wide, asking for salvation, asking for him to supply your needs. And do so believing God's word when he says, I will fill it. Not because we deserve for him to, but because he has graciously made a way for this to happen by sending his son to die on a cross. See, as Jesus hung there on the cross, he opened wide his mouth to God. My God, why have you forsaken me? I'm thirsty. The wrath of God and our sin was being poured out on him. In his humanity, he was in agony. But though his mouth was open wide, God did not fill it. Why? Because that was the only way for our mouths to be filled when we open them wide, asking God to save us and to supply our needs. He experienced silence on the cross so that we could experience salvation. He experienced silence on the cross so we could experience supply. He was not filled so that we could be. How foolish it is then for us to keep our mouths shut, to keep them close to what God wants to give to us, or to open them to things that cannot meet our greatest needs. Hear the Lord Jesus say to you this morning, I am the Lord your God, who is able to bring you out of sin and death. Open your mouth wide. Call on my name, and I will fill it. I will save you, and I will supply all that you need until you are with me in the place that I am preparing for you. Open wide your mouth. That's what we're being commanded to do here in Psalm 81. And why should we? Because the God who commands us to open wide our mouths is a God who has made this promise to us today. I will fill it. I will fill it. Let's pray that God will help us to open our mouths wide, to receive all that he wants to give to us. Let's pray. Father, forgive us for not looking to you for what we need, for looking to what you have created rather than to you, the Creator, for the security we need, for satisfaction in this life. Lord, we thank you that in your Son, the Lord Jesus, you can provide all that we need. You can provide the salvation we need. You can supply everything that we need in this life until we are in your presence for eternity. Lord, help us individually to open wide our mouths, to come to you, looking to you, depending upon you for everything. Lord, help us to believe the promise that you have made, that you will fill our open mouths, that you will give us what we need according to your will. Lord, help us as a church to do that too. Lord, may we not only value praying individually, but praying together. And Lord, would you help us to open our mouths wider, to pray bigger prayers, believing that you are the God who is able to do far more than we can imagine. So help us in this. Help us to obey your command. Help us to believe your promise for the glory of your name. Amen.